Well, I think it is historic to the degree where it's the only country except Israel where president and prime minister are both Jewish. Therefore, the idea of, you know, Ukraine being anti-Semitic is being dropped for now. However, Zelensky is an actor, is a comedian, doesn't come from nowhere. He's been protege of the Igor Kolomoisky, one of the most important oligarchs in Ukraine, that actually at one point when there was a turmoil in Kiev, he actually put up this private army of 10,000 fighters to vowing to stop the Russians. And he actually then had some major conflict with Poroshenko, previous prime minister, the king of chocolate, the chocolate king. And he was able to morph his private army into some kind of National Guard units, which kind of still runs the country. I mean, what's taking place in Ukraine, I've covered this place many times. I know the language.
So is it just a fence or a front of the real people in power? Or...
I think it is, because, you know, Ukraine has, since Kuchma's times, when Ukraine became independent, the political parties have morphed into a political representation of each individual oligarch's personal interests. So, for example, the Svoboda Party represented one oligarch. There was another party represented the other oligarch. So, in a way, became sort of like it's almost like a medieval times of setting where everybody's up for their own. And the only problem is the country is suffering incredibly under huge economic IMF dictate right now. They're implementing huge degree of austerity policies that nobody talks about. People are talking about Greece all the time. Nobody's talking about Ukraine, where the price of gas has tripled three times, where they cut the regular pensions for people to a degree of $55, $60 a month. Most places where, you know, the cost of living as high as in Europe, for example. I mean, we're just...
Well, the difference with Greece, well, first of all, I mean, Greece wasn't the first country. There have been dozens of countries that came before Greece. But the difference with Greece was, first of all, it was a developed European country that is part of the European Union. And secondly, it was the other European countries themselves who imposed the austerity, rather than the IMF.
Well, yes, but on the other hand, you know, you have to be in a situation where this whole situation kind of destroys the state as it is. And I think it also drives the prices in Ukraine down, so the properties and the resources can be bought literally on the dollar, pennies on the dollar, for people who have the money. And a lot of, there's huge tons of investment coming from Israel, Western Europe, even US. You know, and it is also a very infamous side of our political establishment, but Hunter Biden, you know, son of Joe Biden, actually playing very unflattering role within the Ukraine NAFTA, which is a major Ukrainian oil and gas producer.
Had a story about that a couple of months ago. It was about what had happened. So is he still active, Hunter Biden,
yes,
the son of Joe Biden?
And Biden, you know, he got to the point where at one point Biden got even personally involved about throwing out the assistant, I think, Minister of Justice or Assistant Minister of Justice, I don't remember which, from power, because he really wanted to look at the Biden's companies closely, specifically on the issues of taxations, whether they're paying the taxes, and some other issues.
So can you repeat that? So that was Joe Biden as a vice president who got involved into, who interfered.
Mild word to use. Yeah. Interfered to remove the acting minister of justice or attorney general. Attorney general.
Of Ukraine.
At a time, because he was looking closely where he was not supposed to look, basically. So this gives you sort of this colonial, you know, it's literally a almost, I mean, I don't want to be very offensive to Ukrainian people, because I really like Ukrainian people.
Derek, what was he looking into?
Situations such as Ukraine NAFTA compliance with international taxation laws. Also, situation around whether they're paying their share of fair taxes. There are a bunch of different things, allegations of corruptions and whatever, and what have you. I mean, there's a whole gambit of things. And apparently, the guy, Biden, got really upset, made some phone calls to Kiev. I believe he even showed up one point in Kiev to really tell Poroshenko government to remove this guy from the office for one reason or the other. I don't remember which it was. There's a whole bunch of things, of course. But I think as I said before, I like Ukrainian people. I like Ukraine a lot, but it's almost the country looks like a shell of the, you know, colonized your African country back from 1940s, 1950s before the decolonization. It's almost got so bad where you have outside actors are really making major decisions within the country without any kind of domestic and democratic input from it. And it's one of the
Maybe more
reasons.
than 40s and 50s, it's more like 60s and 70s, post-colonial, right? Neocolonialism.
Well, yeah, but I don't know. I think because it's the degree of this interference so blatant in a way that even Russian propaganda stopped even reporting on it because it's like de facto in a way. You know, RT used to report a lot of the stuff, but we don't even do it anymore because we don't have to anymore. And whatever the news comes out of Ukraine, it's almost like you could have like drafted in Kremlin because it's some kind of propaganda piece, but you don't have to anymore because the reality is really coming across as the worst kind of propaganda that anyone can use against the West, basically. So a lot of media in the U.S. doesn't even want to report this stuff anymore because it makes the West look bad, to be honest. And
Yes, we don't. There's no news really. It's after the elections,
yeah.
and the fact that he was a media figure, an actor. Nothing else has been told really about the whole
And
situation.
most Ukrainians, like, you know, for example, I know personally Andriy Sadal, which is a mayor of Lviv. I interviewed him several times before. Basically, maybe they want to run for the Rada, which is their parliament, and they want to keep away from the highest office. But I think that most people are simply looking at this. We have a personal life. Let's concentrate on our personal life. The state is what it is. Just let not the state screw with us, and we're gonna have to survive it either one way or the other. It's almost like a sort of like a post-apocalyptic kind of dystopian even look. You know, if you are an anarchist, you really should come to Ukraine. Really, I mean, if you want to see Makhno's version of Bukharin's version of post-utopian anarchist future, Ukraine is probably the best you're gonna get actually,
Okay,
because it's so like.
that's an interesting holiday argument,
Yeah,
advisory, yeah.
but I have to say the dental services are second to none, and I my family benefited from it, dental services recently. Everybody's really happy, so came the right price and was done very professionally. So we can have a nice, beautiful smile, courtesy of our Ukrainian doctors or dentists, for that matter. But otherwise, it's a sad thing, you know. And whoever I'm, my, you know, this is one of the things that. As someone who knows the country really well, travel across back and forth, it really breaks your heart in a way because if there are any people in the world that deserve better, these are Ukrainians, and they're really not getting even close to the fair deal.